All right, tonight we're in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, and we've studied down to about verse 27. And Jesus was, of course, crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday, which would be Wednesday night. Our time was in the tomb Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, and Saturday day. And rose from the dead at sunset on Saturday, which was the beginning of the Jewish Sunday. So he fulfilled the sign of the prophet Jonah. He had to be, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, our Lord was 3 days and three nights. And we've emphasized the fact of what tradition does. And all we have to do is look at the Jews and how they traditionalized the scriptures because they were trying to keep the law. And if you look at the average church under the canopy of Christianity, they seem to read over verses like, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And they say, oh yeah, that's for, that's just to get saved. No. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And if you are to, if you're going to have a right relationship with God based upon the law, then you have to be perfect. And that's why Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew, speaking to Jews under law, and this is where the church gets all screwed up. The Gospels were not written to the church. Yes, they were written by the New Testament church or by different believers during the New Testament era, but the point of time was the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ while the law was still in effect, and no one can keep the law. The scripture says very clearly that therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that's what the law was for, to show the Jews that they were sinners. And really, when God chose the nation of Israel and brought them out of the land of Egypt, they had an ego problem. And so they were delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb. And we're going to see this in just a moment. Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us. So all of the animal sacrifices from the Garden of Eden to the giving of the law, and there were sacrifices that were made during that period of time, all pointed forward to faith in Jesus Christ. And then everything after the law, the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, when they should have said, all that the Lord has spoken, we can't possibly do it. We've got a sin nature. But, like so many people, and you see it in most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity, they think our relationship with God is all about how we live. And I can remember, I went to three different Bible colleges, and they were all the same in the respect to that other people will see your life and want to be believers. And I've never seen anybody that ever wanted to be like me. it's the whole idea is total foolishness. And the scriptures are very plain. Jesus said, it wasn't translated this way, but basically the argument was, if you want to be justified by law, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, it's impossible for us to be perfect, So why did Christ come into the world? He came into the world to be a ransom for sin. He had to satisfy God's holiness, His righteousness, His justice. And yet, the attributes of God are eternal attributes. God has existed for all eternity. So God has always been a God of mercy and grace. But until the fall of Adam, or basically Adam and Eve, there was no object for his mercy and grace. Okay? So God, in his omnipotence, he didn't cause them to do what they did. Eve was literally deceived by the serpent. And Adam, the scripture is very clear, it says, Adam was not deceived. And then when we read in the fifth chapter of Romans, we read about Adam, and we see that Adam gave himself really for his wife, because in that fifth chapter, Adam is a type of Christ. Okay? And how can Adam be? How can a sinful man like Adam be a type of Christ? Well, he was the federal head. That is, Eve came from him, plus and through progeneration, everybody else comes from Adam. And so the scripture says, as in Adam, all what? We all die. We're all under the sentence of death. Why? Because of Adam's sin. So when he sinned, we sinned. Okay. So now, this is after the resurrection of our Lord. And the two on the road to Emmaus, I'll pick up at verse 21. And they're talking to Jesus, but he has not yet enabled them to understand that it's Jesus that they're talking to. And in other words, the scripture says a little later on, their eyes were withholden from them. You know, just exactly how God did that, pretty simple, but they just didn't recognize it. In the first place, they didn't expect to see him. You know, and if it was spring of the year, a little bit cold, put the towel up, you know, and you wouldn't be able to, you know, see all of the features. But it suggests later on that their eyes were specifically, you know, they weren't able to deduce who he was. So they say to Jesus in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So these disciples are declaring their faith in the Lord, but, you know, Jesus told them again and again and again that he had to suffer and that he had to die and he had to rise again the third day, but they never got it, you know. And it's pretty simple, you know. We've all sat in church and had our minds on, shall I buy a new car or not? You know, or something. You know, and our minds are 1,000 miles away. We're hearing words, but we're not understanding them. So, you know, it can happen by just strictly natural things or natural tendencies, but they were talking, and we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Or in the Greek, it says 3 days have passed away since these things were done. So translators made it the third day, you know. But 3 days have elapsed, you know. Okay, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. Well, it wasn't a vision. There were two angels there, you know, standing physically before them and talking with them, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So when John and Peter got there, John outran Peter, but John didn't go in. Peter got there, and then he went inside, you know. And then they were, at this point, they were just befuddled. They didn't know whether to believe the women or not, and they didn't know whether someone came and stole the body away. And incidentally, that's what the Jews say happened to the body of Christ. His disciples stole it away and buried it somewhere else. You know? And yet, the Old Testament scriptures speak of these things, and that's what we're going to see next. And, you know, in the average church today, You know, people can read their Bible from every year, but unless you're redeemed and unless you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and that comes with being redeemed, unless you do a little bit of studying, you can read things and miss the point. You know, you get to where you're just reading words. You know. And I can remember a lady that was in the church in Bellflower. And she said to Brother Stewart one time, she said, "Brother Stewart, when you're preaching the Word of God, it's so plain. But when I'm reading it, I can't see the things that you see. You know? But when you point them out, they make perfect sense to me." You know? And that's the way we are. That's why, you know, those that are called to the ministry are supposed to study to show themselves approved unto God. And, we do not all have the gift of being able to rightly divide the Word of God, put all the puzzle pieces in the right places. Yeah. Once we've seen them in the right places, we recognize they're in the right place. But we don't... we don't all necessarily have that gift, but we're all involved as believers by the Holy Spirit. And so then they went out to say to Jesus, "Ought not Christ to have, Jesus said that, then he said unto them," verse 25, "O fools," they were being pretty foolish because he had taught all of these things to them in his public ministry. But they just heard the words, but didn't understand. And slow of heart, you know. It's been laid out, but you haven't been listening. You know. And so, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, think about it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? No animal sacrifice could ever take away sin, yet we see animal sacrifices in the Garden of Eden. God made the first sacrifice when he clothed Adam and Eve with a skin of, you know, we don't know what the animal was, probably it was a sheep, but he clothed Adam and Eve with a skin, the way we put it, an innocent victim, yet had to shed his blood for them to be properly clothed. So the clothing that was upon them speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in the typology of Scripture. And so, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And lots of people would think, and Moses, really, in the book of Genesis, we see Jesus? Absolutely, we see Jesus in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel, all the way through the Old Testament. Christ is in every place. And when we see Ruth being redeemed in the book of Ruth, you know, who had to be her redeemer? It had to be a near kinsman, see? So you could go to the book of Ruth and show how that Jesus was born as a Jew, born under the law. He was a near kinsman to the nation of Israel, and he became their redeemer. See? And it was portrayed to them, you know, in the rules that God gave them with respect to redemption. You know, if a woman died without children and relatives, then you had to find the closest relative so that he could marry her so that she could have an inheritance, you know. And what? We're all, according to the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation, we're all part of what is called the Bride of Christ. There are sects under the canopy of Christianity that say that they solely are the Bride of Christ. Well, then what do we do? You know, Jesus used Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to prove the resurrection of the dead when he was talking to the Sadducees. And when we go over to the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation, and whosoever's name was not found in the Lamb's book of life was what? Cast into the lake of fire. Yeah. And so, the Old Testament saints weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but they had to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke for just a moment. And people read this, and they read right over the top of it. And it's very easy to do, you know, unless you have your spiritual eyes and ears on when you're reading portions of Scripture. Paul started in the 5th chapter of Romans all the way through to the 3rd verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. And he talked about sin in the singular. Each occasion was preceded by a definite article. And from the 5th chapter of Romans to the 8th chapter of Romans, we find sin in the singular with the definite article 30 times. And the translators didn't translate not one definite article. Yeah. Well, in English, it sounds a little awkward when we say the sin. But what are we talking about when we talk about the sin? We're not talking about personal sin when we talk about the sin. We're talking about the nature or the propensity that we got from our father Adam when Eve was deceived and Adam willfully ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Paul was really frustrated. And I'm going to go back to the 7th chapter for just a moment and then pick up in this. This will be deviating from our subject just a little bit. In verse 7 of the 7th chapter, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? You know, is there anything wrong with the law?" No, the law demands perfection. See? But we're incapable of producing the perfection that the law demands. And so he says, "May it never be," or "God forbid," is the way they the idiom that the translators use. "Nay, I had not known..." Oh, I said the 7th chapter of Romans. I'm sorry. And the 7th verse. I thought I said that, but maybe I didn't. Okay. 7th chapter, 7th verse. And I just want to go back a little bit farther and see some of these nouns, singular nouns, you know, with the definite article, and it says, "What shall we say? Is the law sin? God forbid, or may it never be. Nay, I had not known the sin." Now, the sin is, when we use sin in the singular, it makes it a specific sin, right? Okay, little English lesson. But by the law. So, if there isn't a law, you know, and I loved it when Oregon had the basic rule. You could drive as fast as was safe to drive. You know? And when I was working in the two-way radio business back in those years, sometimes it was well beyond the speed limit, you know. They'd give me more work than I could get done in a day, and I'd have to about 200 miles to drive and fix a radio here, fix a radio there, and so forth. And just going as hard as I could all day and on into the night. And there wasn't a law against driving that fast as long as I was driving safely. You know, I never had an accident in those days, so I must have been driving safe enough. Anyway, "May I had not known thee sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But thee sin," that is, that nature we got from Adam, "taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence," you know, or evil, illicit desire, "for without the law sin was dead." Now, if there's no law against things, you know, then it's okay. Used to be illegal to smoke dope in Oregon. Now it's not. You know, I think it's a mistake. You know, crime goes up, people are going around, driving under the influence, you know, but you can't smell alcohol in their breath. Okay. But these then taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of illicit desire. That's what concupiscence is. For without the law, sin was dead. In other words, if there's no law that says I can't do anything, then I can do whatever I want to do. But as soon as you make a law that makes, some things that shouldn't be done, then there's a violation. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, the sin revived. How does it revive? When the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, then that brought these laws that we call the Ten Commandments, plus all of the other things that go with them, that brought them into play. So then Jesus, in emphasizing the law, says, the law says thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looks upon a woman to lust after in his heart, and what man hasn't done that at some point in time? He sees a good-looking babe, you know, and desires her. Yeah. He says you've committed adultery where? Already in your heart. See? And then if you've hated somebody, you've committed murder in your heart. So you don't actually have to commit the act of murder or actually commit the act of rape to be guilty of it. If you just, pondered it happily for a little while, I'll get rid of that so-and-so, and people do that all the time, but they think they're good, All we have to do there is look at the ridiculous things that are being proposed by, what are there, 27 candidates for president? I can't keep track. 25, 27, what? It's a bunch, And they're all going, they've all sworn to uphold the Constitution, but they're all wanting to violate or change our Constitution to make us into a socialistic or communistic state. And I guess they've never observed history very well to see that in such a state, you have a rich ruling class and everybody else works for the government for sustenance. And they're poor and starving. Really sounds good when you're telling the kid that's just about ready to graduate from high school, hey, don't worry about it. You don't have to get a job. We're going to take care of you from the cradle to the grave. Doesn't work that way, folks. And they keep trying to find incidences. They say, well, the Bible promotes socialism. No, it doesn't. In the communal living that the church had for a short period of time, because they were Jews and they were excommunicated from the synagogue, and so therefore they didn't have a way to support themselves for a period of time. And so, people like Barnabas sold his possessions. He was a wealthy man, and everybody shared. And there was Ananias and Sapphira, and they said, "Well, we've got a piece of property." And they wanted to get patted on the back too, and that's why they were put to death, because they said they sold it for so much and gave it all to the church, but they didn't. They held back part. And Peter says, when it was your own, couldn't you do with it as you please? They say, yeah, okay. But you said you gave it all to the church and you didn't. See? And so they drop dead on the spot, separately. They formulated a lie and agreed upon the lie and God judged it. Okay. Why can't socialism work? One verse of Scripture, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, what? How many? Not even one. Okay. That ought to tell you why socialism will never work. So these people that are saying that. Now let's get back to the sin and I want to get to the message that Jesus preached to them. So, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, there's the law that says you can't do that. Sin revived. The sin. Now, what's the sin? It's my moral nature. It's the knowledge of good and evil. And all the religions of the world think that they have a right relationship with God based upon what they can do for God. But that isn't what biblical Judaism said. It isn't what the patriarchs prior to the law operated on. The only sin that they were charged with was a sin that they themselves never committed. It was a sin that Adam committed and that was charged to them. And really, it's that sin that sends people to hell. Adam's sin. Okay? You don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments at all. We all ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, if one man could plunge the whole human family into sin, then one man can stand in the stead of the human family, that's God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, fulfill all righteousness, and die a ransom for sin. You know? And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So continuing on, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. See? Well, how was the law a commandment for life? It proved the Jews guilty. And by proving them guilty, which they didn't want to admit because they said all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And when they couldn't do it, the rabbis traditionalized the law, changed it. So you go through this little ritual, you go through that little ritual, and you're a holy man. And that's the best that anybody can do. They operate according to the traditions of men. For these sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. In other words, when God offered the law to the nation of Israel, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Paul's giving his personal testimony, and in his heart, he said the same thing. And what did the law do to him? It slew him. Yeah. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? No, I've got a sin nature. It just points out that sin nature. See? God forbid. But the sin, notice what? Now think about this. If I got on TV, Uncle Ann Hannity, you know, and the moment that I say, you trying to be a moral person and satisfy God and loving your neighbor as yourself and so forth, the very act of doing that condemns you before God. And if that's what you're looking for to get to heaven, you're going to hell. Yeah. Now, if I said that on national TV, everybody in the country would want to rise up and crucify him. Because of the lie of the devil, we think according to our morality. See? So, if we could do it ourselves, why did Jesus begin at Moses and the prophets and expound unto these two on the road to Emmaus all of the things written in the scriptures concerning himself? He pointed out the virgin birth in the birth of Isaac. He pointed out the sacrifice of himself when Abraham was told, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and get thee into a mount that I will show you, and offer him there for a burnt offering. You know? So Isaac, the ass, all of the burden was on the ass, and the ass had to be redeemed like man has to be redeemed. And when they got to the base of the mount, the burden was removed from the ass and placed upon the son, and the son bore that burden to the top of the mount, which was Calvary. You know. And they took the wood, you know, which speaks of the curse of sin, and bound Isaac to the wood, got ready to slit his throat and start the big bonfire to burn his body up, when God said, hold the phone. You know, no phones in those days. Stop right there. You know. Okay, and offer that ram caught by his horns in the thicket. At that moment, Isaac ceased being a type of Christ and became a type of you and me. We deserve to die. You know? And it's appointed unto man once to die, because we've got to get rid of the blood that's in our bodies. Because our sin nature is transferred from father to son, from father to son, father to daughter, by the blood. Because all the blood that flows in our body comes from our father all the way back to Adam. So what's all this racism in the world about? Yeah. And what's all this talk about wanting to make reparation for a certain race of people? Because none of them were slaves. So what do they need to be get reparation for? You know? Each one of us, if you study history at all, and apparently nobody studies history, you'd know that we were in bondage to somebody somewhere in our ancient history. So if the blacks that came out of Africa, and I always puzzle over the term African American, what is that? Are you European Americans? We don't say that. Or are you Swedish American or Irish American or Scottish American, English American? No, we're just Americans, you know. And it's crazy stuff that people come up with. Now, if I stay with this, I'm not going to be able to get back to what Jesus had to say here. But this sin. And the verse I want to quote is in verse 13. Was then that which is good, speaking of the law, made death unto me? May it never be, or God forbid. But what was the law for? So that the sin, that's Adam's sin, what was his sin? He ate of a tree which gave him a knowledge of good and evil. What do we call that? That's morality. That the sin might appear to be what? Sin. Okay. So you can't get to heaven by the life that you live. No one can. We get to heaven by believing that God promised a Savior. And he told in the judgment of the serpent. And this is undoubtedly one of the things that Jesus showed these two on the road to Emmaus. He said, in the judgment of the serpent, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. So, who is the woman? Well, the woman ultimately is God's called out assembly. You know? And the seed of the woman, it's singular, Paul tells us in, look at Galatians chapter 3. I was going to go back in the Old Testament scripture and pick up these things in type. But it says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and what was it? It was accounted, or it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God, and he was said to be righteous for what reason? Not because of any acts, but because he believed God. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So when God promised that, you know, all the families of the earth would be blessed in the seed of Abraham, he wasn't talking about Isaac, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came from the seed of Abraham, from the seed of Isaac, from the seed of Jacob, from the seed of David, right on down the line. So he was related to man, but he was virgin born. And we know that medically, Dr. DeHaan, a medical doctor who became a Christian and then preached, he wrote in his book, The Chemistry of the Blood, all of the blood that flows in our veins comes from our father. Not one drop of a mother's blood flows in the veins of the baby. But the woman eats and digests her food, and the nourishment goes into her bloodstream, and that nourishment is passed by osmosis through the placenta into the baby's bloodstream, and then the baby processes it and grows in the womb, and then the waste product is passed by osmosis back through the placenta, back into the bloodstream, through the kidneys, through the bowels and so forth, and dumped as waste by the mother. Okay. But the two bloodstreams never mix. Yeah. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. And so as we go on here, speaking of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God, in verse 8, would justify the nations, that's what the word heathen really means, through faith, you know. Whenever I'd be particularly bad as a kid, my mother would call me a heathen. You know, we're all heathens. If we're not Semitic, we're heathens. That is, we're of the nations of the world. That's what it means. See? So, that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall what? All nations be blessed. How? Through the seed of Abraham. Now, we have to read on to see who that is. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why? Because the scripture says, for it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So, how much law do you have to break to be a lawbreaker? Yeah. Just the itty-bitty teeny one. Makes you guilty. Okay? And so you have to keep the law perfectly all the days of your life, which we don't have that capacity. But Jesus had that capacity because God was his father and he didn't have a sin nature. He was born into the human family. He had a human mother. See? So then it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's what? It's evident. Jesus condensed it back in the fifth chapter of Matthew. Be ye therefore perfect. Anybody here stupid enough to say, I'm perfect? No. We're not perfect by virtue of what we've done. We're all guilty. But by virtue of faith in Christ, which God gave to us as a gift, we're counted to be as perfect as Jesus is perfect. We're counted to have performed all of the deeds of law because he did. It's in charge to our account as if we had done it ourselves, but we couldn't do it ourselves. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live how? The just shall live by faith, and they put a period there, and they should have put a colon, and the law is not of faith. But a man that doeth them or practices them shall live in them. In other words, if you're going to be justified by law, you have to practice it perfectly, you know, every minute of every day of your life. You know, and that still wouldn't do it because you're born dead in trespasses and sin. Okay? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It also says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So whose curse was being borne when Christ was hanged on a tree? He didn't have a curse of his own. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. Okay. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Well, we go back and look at the Old Testament. And David prayed after his sin with Bathsheba, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, the Spirit came upon individuals for service so that they could pen the scriptures and prophesy and so forth. But he didn't permanently indwell any of them. You know, he was there. He was kind of one that was called alongside to help, but couldn't indwell them until Christ died. See? So he says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. So if you have a contract, yeah, you can't change the terms of the contract. unless both parties who made the contract agreed to the new terms. Okay? So he uses that. And so he says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man, and there's no such word as disannul. The Greeks use double negatives. And so no man annuls it, see, or adds thereto. In other words, you can't add to a contract or you can't void a clause in a contract unless, you know, the Jews had a contract with God. So if you're going to change any of the laws within that contract, you have to get God's approval and your approval, and then you make a new covenant. Okay. Now to Abraham and his seed, and you notice seed is singular, where the promise is made. And now Paul points it out, and he saith, not unto seeds as of many. He wasn't talking about the nation of Israel. He wasn't talking about the human family. He was talking about his son, the singular seed of Adam, the singular seed of Abraham, the singular seed of Isaac, of Jacob, and so on down the line. You know, so he says, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is, who is the Christ? Jesus, okay. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, so God confirmed the covenant with Abraham to be fulfilled in Christ, and it was confirmed, they both agreed to it, the law which was 430 years after cannot do what? Cannot annul it. Throw the dis away. See? You disannul. Annul means to cancel. Dis means to cancel. Two negatives make a positive. So you have to get rid of the dis. That it should make the promise of none effect. See, God made the promise in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. These were the things that Jesus was showing those men on the road to Emmaus. He showed them that he had to be virgin born in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. You can't call, if Joseph were Jesus' father, how could he be called God with us? See? Joseph was just his legal father, because Mary and Joseph were married. But the father of Jesus is God. See? And so, through man, that is through the woman, he came into the human family, and we've already pointed out the reason why, so he wouldn't have the sin nature that we have. Because if he was born of Joseph, he would have had. See? And so, all of these people under the canopy of Christianity that deny the virgin birth, and in our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson was, and nobody, if they've ever read the Declaration of Independence, no one can doubt the mental fortitude of a man like Jefferson. You know, he was a brilliant man, but when it came to scriptural matters, he was a Unitarian. He didn't believe in the Trinity. And he thought that the Presbyterians who did, teach that Jesus, that God is a triune God, and that he had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And he made them to be the most cruel people and so forth, and all of that, because he couldn't get his mind around it. You know, as brilliant as he was. And what's really ironic, he said, all of a sudden I forgot the name, the father of mathematics. He said, how can three be one and one be three? I guess he never studied geometry. An isosceles triangle. What is the feature of an isosceles triangle? Each side is the same length, and each angle is the same angle. And, you know, and they add them all together, you know, and it's complete. It's 360 degrees. Start to go all the way around, okay? So that's an isosceles triangle. So what is it? One triangle, but it has three separate sides, but they're equal. And it has three separate angles, and they're equal. So, yeah. You know, the very thing that Jefferson, as brilliant as he was, that he used to illustrate that three can't be one and one can't be three, I've forgotten the fellow that they put to death for denying the Trinity, and but he couldn't find it as Euclid, that three are one and one are three. See? But I guess it's just one of those things. Well, I want to read a couple more verses here. I'll read down to verse 36. We started at 27 and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And we've looked in the New Testament, making references to the Old Testament, and he's all the way through the book. Yeah. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. What did they do the night before he was crucified? He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Well, they hot-footed it back to Jerusalem. We're in the upper room when Jesus, as we'll see next week, Jesus came into the room. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews, see. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Old Testament, New Testament, we have everybody that's ever been saved has been saved by God's grace through faith. Have there been different ways that God worked with man? Yeah. For the first 2,500 years, there was only one law which no one could break, because no one could go into the Garden of Eden and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but Adam and Eve did it. And so Adam's sin was imputed to them. And then they showed their faith by making, the head of the household would make a sacrifice for the household, and they showed their faith that way. Then when the Jews came out of Egypt, they came out by the blood of the Passover lamb. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for it. So long before they said all that the Lord has spoken we will do, they were shown the grace of God in the Passover lamb. But they wanted to be under law. And we see it virtually in every church under the canopy of Christianity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But now you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. And they start piling stuff on. When the Scripture says over in Galatians, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to whom? To everyone that believeth. Bless our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, how that it fits together so completely, so perfectly, and that the Christ of the Old Testament is Christ of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit of the Old Testament is the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. And those that believe will one day make up the body of Christ. We read about it in the 21st chapter of the Revelation. And because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if their names are not there, then they would be cast into the lake of fire. So the idea that only the church is the bride of Christ is so crazy, so foolish. And they've got to respect her first. And we know that you're not. We praise you and thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Pray that you'll bless it to our hearts. Keep us strong in the faith and faithful to that which you've committed to our trust. We commit the ill that each of us have, illnesses, broken bones, this, that, all of that. We commit into your care and know that you'll provide healing virtue in our bodies, and ultimately we'll have a new body made like unto our Lord's glorious body. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.